Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and for the next 30 minutes, we are going to put a spotlight on Tucson water reliability and water customers. And I misspoke the last show. I'm going to go on air and own it. I said it was the third of a six-part series. Well, this is the third of the six-part series we are doing with Tucson Water Department to talk about what I think arguably is our most precious resource, water. And we're helping to showcase many of the important water conservation efforts and other really important programs that are reflective of this department's outstanding leadership's effort in offering distinguished water-saving programs that benefit our community and our planet. And I do not say that lightly. I have learned so much with this series. So if you haven't heard one and two, you can go to iHeartRadio and listen to them, because you'll learn a lot about what they're doing to make sure we're water secure, is what I say, water reliable. So join me in welcoming for the next 30 minutes Scott Clark, Deputy Director, and Fernando Molina, Public Information Officer from Tucson Water, City of Tucson. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today and for taking such good care of us in terms of us being able to rely on safe, clean water that's affordable and that shows up in our homes every day and in our businesses. So I'm glad you're here.
It's good to be here, Gina.
Okay. Fernando, how do you decide the rate-making process? This is like Inside Edition. How do you decide how much water you're going to charge us for water?
I think this is always a good thing for people to understand, and not just Tucson Water customers, but pretty much most municipal water utilities follow the same principle. The connection to water reliability, obviously, is that this is how we have to pay for everything. And it comes through the budget and the rate-making process. And one important piece of information to remember in all of this is the water is actually free.
I know.
We are a not-for-profit entity, a department of the City of Tucson. So the charges and the costs that we have really reflect the cost to develop the water supply, keep it clean, keep it in the pipes, manage our water conservation programs. And what we'll be talking about today is some of the investments that are made for our customers to make things a little bit easier for them.
And what Remy talked about last time, I mean, just watching the quality of the water is a big job. It's not like you go with a little stick each, you know, once a week and see how things are going.
No, and it's the cost behind all that really is, as I said, what water reliability is about. And it is the cost. So the very first step before we even start talking about rates is identifying how much money we'll need next year to meet all of our needs. And those are regulatory requirements, mayor and council policy direction, any other sort of item that we think is critical to ensure water reliability for the future. So it's developing the budget. We go through a pretty intensive process every year. We do this every fall. We start looking at how much money will each division, each section, each unit require to do their job. We work with the Citizen Water Advisory Committee throughout this process, too. So this is not just Tucson Water. Once we develop a suggested budget or a recommended budget, we have to go to our mayor and council, and they have to approve that. So they're kept apprised of this throughout the whole process. So we figure out, how big is the pie going to be? Okay, that's the first step.
What's the demand?
Yeah, what is our budget,
right,
minimum budget requirement? The next step, then, after we get mayor and council authorization to move ahead with that budget, once they approve that, is we go back and we basically cut the slices of the pie. That's how I'd best describe it. And what we do is we refer to that as allocating the costs to the various user classes,
right,
that we have. So we have residential customers, we have commercial customers, we have fire service, we have construction water. And we can allocate a cost to each segment of user class, because we have meters on everybody and we know how much water they use. So we proportionally distribute those costs to those customers. So now we know how big the pie is for each customer group. And that's the next step then is how do we collect the money? And that's where the rate itself comes in. And we do have different rates. We have the rate structure, the math that you use to calculate how much they're going to pay varies for each user group. And they all have a few things in common. Number one, there is a fixed cost. That's a service, usually the monthly service charge. There is also a volume charge. And that's where we can do the math and collect differently from different groups. We want to make sure we have financial stability. We also want to make sure that there is a conservation message being brought in there. So the rates that we do have today reflect the desire and the direction from the mayor and council to ensure that there's a conservation signal in that rate structure. So you don't calculate it the same for a business that you do for a residence, but based on their usage patterns, it's all designed to collect an equal amount of money in that whatever their cost allocation was, and be fair. Needs to be equitable. So that's the other third item to it. It needs to be provide financial stability. It needs to have equity, and it needs to have a conservation message.
So, break it down for this consumer. Where do golf courses fit in? It's a great topic to bring up because I know there are some golf courses that are really water efficient, but do they tell you how much water they think they're going to use and then you set a rate?
No, we look at them as a user class and most of them use reclaimed water. So that's actually a different water source. I think we talked about that.
Yes.
It's a different water source. It has a different rate structure. There's a different motivation behind that one. That particular rate is what we call a flat rate.
Okay.
So the unit cost stays the same no matter how much they use. And that's done to create an incentive for these customers, the golf courses, to use a renewable water supply, non-drinking water, as opposed to using our drinking water.
Right.
And it's had a big impact on us. I think, you know, golf as an industry has historically played a big part here, and it's good that we're not using drinking water for the courses that
it's really
we
good.
Deliver water
and it brings
to.
In revenue.
Yeah.
People come here to golf from all over the place.
Correct.
Maybe not necessarily on July 27th, but, you know.
Oh, the real golfers are out there, even on July 27th.
That never ceases to amaze me, so go ahead.
You know, our budget, and I'll let Scott maybe talk a little bit more about this, but the budget that we had approved by the Tucson Mayor and Council for our next fiscal year, which starts July 1st, 2016, is $181.5 million.
Holy
That's
smokes.
The minimum
wow.
that we need to provide water and ensure water reliability over the next fiscal year. We did a couple of different things this year. We did tweak the allocation a little bit just to kind of smooth things out a little bit and not have one group have a higher rate increase than another.
Right.
But it's still we still accomplished the same thing proportionally, I think. It's still distributed not as firmly as it has in the past, but it's still distributed based on how much demand that user class brings to the system.
Got it. Okay. Now, another massive change, this is massive, not another, but a massive change from where I sit is the automated metering, the automated meter reading, AMR and AMI. So, Scott, tell all about that. That's a big change and a big shift and a lot of labor, and what a process.
Well, Tucson Water initiated a program a few years back to switch from the manually read meters, where you have a meter reader go out on the street and open up your box and do a manual reading, to automatic meter reading, which is we put in a meter that sends out a signal that as our trucks drive by will turn the signal on, take the reading, and record it on a handheld device. That device isn't downloaded, and that's how we collect your reading. So rather than having someone that has to walk a route that takes hours and days, we drive through your neighborhood, and we've got all your meters read within a matter of minutes.
That's the new world.
That's the older new world.
That's the older new world.
That's the older new world.
Rut-row.
So those meters, the meters we're putting in, will take an hourly reading and store it for 40 days. So if you've got a water consumption issue that shows up on your bill, we can go out, download the information from your meter, and see what happened over a 40-day period and determine. In a lot of cases, people will have automatic irrigation systems that begin to leak. And so we'll see that every day at 6 o'clock when it came on, it produced a large volume of water for which they were paying for. The new system, which is the automated metering infrastructure, is a two-way system. So this will actually allow us to read your meter probably once an hour remotely. And it's so accurate that when we ran a pilot on it last year, that our metering superintendent was able to tell a particular home's toilet was leaking by
you
observing.
You're kidding me. That's sure. Like big brothers in the house in a good way.
In a good way.
In a
way.
Very
I mean,
good way.
One of the problems that we've had for decades is with the old mechanical meters is if for some reason somebody's bill went way up, we had no way of verifying anything.
And they didn't know because they didn't know
and
there
was a leak.
And
they didn't know until they got their bill. Oh. Under the AMR metering system, while we don't have upfront notification, we can at least go back and determine based on the data logger that's embedded in that unit what happened and when, and we can probably figure out. The beautiful thing about the AMI component is that we can almost immediately send out, and there's variations on how the technologies work, but it can be set up to send out a text, an email, a phone call, a letter.
And is that automated?
Immediate notification. It becomes automated.
Automated?
Yes.
So I want to ask you, Scott, in terms of managing a very large organization and the both of you, it's like it's massive. What do you do about the, it's a big transition in terms of workforce. Because you had, I called them meter maids. Where did that even come from? But they're meter readers. That's for the parking people. But so you have the meter readers, and now you'll have to have what, the data watchers, or how
you'll
will that transition
doing
your workforce?
Data analysis,
data
and research
analysis.
And analysis.
Okay.
You'll always have so many meter readers because there are going to be places that we, due to their location and topography,
right.
that we won't be able to use automated meters.
Got it.
So we will always have a number of meter readers on staff, and you're always going to need staff that are trained in to replace meters. So that particular job and those functions won't necessarily go away. What you will see happen over a period of time is a transition in many of those jobs from meter reading to data analysis to customer response type
issues. Got it.
Because if you go onto your cell phone and set your water budget in your phone and you've told the utility you want us to send you a text when you heard a certain consumption, we have to program that all in.
You can do that?
That's where we're headed. That's being done now.
Unreal.
So we've been looking at some technologies to where if you want to manage your water budget and you see your text come on, you can call home and say, I need you to stop taking such a long shower. Or if you do have that irrigation leak, you'll know that day, not a month from now when you get the bill. And so a lot of the calls we get is, why didn't you tell me it was leaking? Well, we only check once every 30 days. But this will allow us to check instantaneously and set alerts in the system to when we see something like that happen, either a leaking irrigation system or water theft, we'll know.
Water theft.
Yes. So if I have a 5,000-gallon water tanker pull up to a hydrant and take 5,000 gallons of water, we'll know that hydrant's being used. So
it's just things I don't ever have to think about. And I'm glad I never thought about water theft. It's like, whoa. And that means I obviously don't think like a thief. So it will really help expedite the process, especially in terms of a leak. It's one of the highest regards I have for this, because I do have a friend that got a $2,000 water bill, and that knocks a big hole in your budget. And it was on, you know, she has a fairly large property. It was leaking somewhere out, you know, the North Dallas 40 or something, and she had no idea until it came. And I want to report, cross my heart, very nice, very helpful people in terms of her negotiating how to pay that bill.
Good. Yeah. That's what we like to hear. Yeah.
No bad story there, but she did have quite an attack when she opened the bill. So it'll really help the whole entire process be...
Yeah. It establishes a partnership between Tucson Water and its customers to where if you want to conserve water and you want us to let us know when you're approaching a certain limit, we'll let you know. It allows them to manage their monthly budget a lot better financially. It allows us to manage this very precious resource here in the Sonoran Desert, which is our water. So it's going to greatly help conservation. It's going to greatly help the home budget. It's going to allow us to manage our resources much better. And so it's something I'm very much looking forward to, because a lot of the calls that we get is, how come you didn't let me know? Or, mm-hmm. you know.
And that's part of what the money that we pay to the water department will help pay for. Exactly.
Correct. And replacing these meters, I mean, one of the other things that we're doing is just replacing meters regularly at 20 years. After 20 years, you lose the accuracy. They tend to under-record, so people are using more water. We're collecting less money. So it just gives us a level of accuracy on several levels that we really do need to make sure we can run the utility efficiently.
Right, right. I'd like to talk about customer service, because I know that there are initiatives, because I did my homework. I have not, honestly, and if I did, you know, I would say it, I have not had any problems. It's like knock on wood with water, the water department, and I've had to call a couple times about a bill, and it was a positive experience. What are you doing? Are there call wait times? What are you doing to improve that?
Sure.
I think people really care about that.
Well, and we care about it a lot. And the staff that are working with us in the customer service center are very customer service focused. The problem we have is really not one problem, but there's six elements that we're looking at. One is our phone technology, our software, our training, staffing, compensation. And so it's a pretty comprehensive approach, and facilities. So what we discovered when I came on board last year is we had significant busy signals, and we really didn't know how many people were trying to reach us. So we were able to put some technology in to determine how many people were trying to call us. We doubled the number of phone lines we brought in.
Which
was good, which means every call gets into us, but that meant the wait times were going up. We anticipated
the good news
that.
And the other news.
Well, sure. We anticipated that, so we're bringing on additional staff. We're bringing on trainers for that staff. We're developing a training program because the intent is to get past the point of servicing customers but trying to delight your customers. You know, take the Warren Buffett approach and treat these people like gold. When you call the water department, it's typically because you have a problem with your water service or you're under a move scenario where you're trying to get everything done. So we'd like to get to the point to where we're able to answer 80% of our calls within 20 seconds, provide you a
Holy
first
smokes.
Call answer.
Wow.
And get you on the way.
By a real person?
Ideally by a real person. What?
As opposed to a robot, who else would be answering the phone?
Well, the interesting thing about Tucson is we're just a little bit older here because we come here for the warm weather, and we also speak a lot of Spanish in Tucson.
Yes.
Both those populations like to talk to people, not machines, and they're not too fond of the internet. So when I go and meet my colleagues in other states, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? What we find is a lot of people still want to talk to a human. So that service is always going to be there. We're improving it. Fernando and his group have done a great job of doing user testing on our website. So you're going to see major improvements in there. You're going to see a dedicated staff person to improving that site. That's what they do, is create the most user-friendly, responsive site. Hopefully in the Western United States, because Tucson Water wants to be the best customer service organization of the utilities in the Western United States. That's where we're trying to go.
And I love that. The Warren Buffett, try to delight your customers. That's not typical from, I don't want to be stereotyping here, but from some government entities. It's not. It's a very public service oriented approach, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
And I don't know if it's an age thing, which is now making me paranoid, but I don't want to talk to a machine, and I don't know anybody who does. I don't. I had to call my my health insurance company, and it was like eight prompts, and I'm repeating the same thing over and over, thinking I can yell at this machine and they're going to understand me better.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
And you know, Scott mentioned our website upgrades. While we know that a lot of our customers are more comfortable talking with a human, we're undergoing this process to revitalize our website because we have to be ready for the next generation.
Yes, and user-friendly. I like it when I have a user-friendly website.
We're definitely going to end up with something that's much easier to look up information and to pay your bill. I mean, Tucson Water's website, if you compare it against all the other City of Tucson websites, we get the highest volume of traffic than all of them.
Wow.
Why? Because it's water? And a large percentage of them are people that want to pay their bill or get some sort of assistance on their bill. So we're really honing in on those functions and being able to automate them, so to speak, through the website so that people can go in their office or on their phone and take care of the business that they need to take care of.
The part I like about this is I would much rather go to a website. I would much rather, and I'm in that population of, I think I'm called elderly now, God forbid, but I would much rather go to a website because I'm very web savvy, but if it doesn't work, I want to talk to somebody, and I don't want to wait through four prompts or do this or do that, and then due to a large call volume. And I'm like, well, if you know that, why don't you add more people?
Yeah.
Okay. Says she to the phone.
Well, and that's where we're at now. We're moving out of that, but that takes some time.
Yes.
And our customers could give us some help in this partnership. You know, if you wait till Monday or Tuesday after a holiday to pay your bill, I will have 2,000 calls that day. I can't staff to that point.
Oh.
So what if you want to wait an additional day?
Beat the peak, really.
I'll have 600 calls on the Wednesday versus 2,000 on the Monday. And I think what it is, like, what I normally like to do is go through the holiday, make sure I have enough money to have fun, then pay my bills the following day. I think a lot of people are like me, so now I call in after the holiday and say, okay, I want to pay my water bill. Wait one more day.
So, and I have it all automated. I mean, it's just, I do. I have automatic bill pay, so I don't have to get a billing statement. It's very green. It makes me feel so noble. Almost every bill I do, I just pay online because it takes no time whatsoever, mm-hmm. and it's a click of a button. And I trust it. Now, you mentioned people calling about their rates, low income possibility. Can you talk a little bit about, you do have low income assistance programs?
We offer assistance in various manners, and one is low income assistance program. And we're actually one of the few water departments, I think the last survey we did, Scott, it was like the Western U.S.?
Maybe there's one or two.
Maybe there's one or two, but there's not very many that offer that. I'll let Scott talk a little bit about what we offer to our customers with respect to that service.
And I'd like to know why, because it's laudable. So you do it, but why, if you're one of the only ones?
Well, unfortunately, as Tucson is continuing to develop its industrial and business, we're still the sixth most poorest big city in the United States. So we have a significant portion of our population that is below the federal poverty line and needs help paying their utility bills. So we offer a 50% reduction on your utility bill if you meet the federal poverty guidelines.
That's huge.
And that allows people to have water. In a lot of cases, you know, we cannot pay your bill. And so we'll direct people to Pima County and the Urban League with the immediate billing assistance and hoping they can make that one or two payments up and get onto our low-income program. We recently did an outreach effort with Regina Romero over in Ward 1, and we had 70 people come in that day and sign up for the program. And these are working families, by and large, that are coming in seeking this kind of assistance. So if you need low-income assistance, contact Tucson Water. We have a low-income assistance program. If you meet the federal poverty guidelines, we can put you on that and provide you some assistance. And then meanwhile, I think the other part that Tucson Water can do, you mentioned water reliability. We have water in Tucson for business and industry. So the more that we can do to attract union wage jobs to Tucson, Arizona, will elevate us out of our place in economic despair and elevate this into a great community. We're well on our way. So I think Tucson Water plays a role in that.
I think it plays a critical role, because what can you do without water? And no matter what business you are, no matter what family you are, I mean, when I say it's our most precious resource, I mean that. It's the only thing we can't live without. And believe me, I mean, I have been parched lately. It's very hot here, and I can't imagine a family that couldn't afford water. And I worked a lot with at-risk families. So your willingness to help them, it's laudable, as I said. What about, okay, there's two other questions in the time that we have left that I want to know. It doesn't seem to me that there's the beat the peak message as much as there used to be. Is that because, and maybe I'm wrong, but I used to get a lot of beat the peak and don't water now and blah, 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 blah. Are we in a better water situation? Has there been more rain? Is it because of water reliability in your planning?
We are. I can always tell when somebody has lived in Tucson for a long time because
they
know
about
Beat the Peak.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
You know, that was a program that started in the mid-70s.
And I still remember it.
Well, you know, I remember it too. So in the mid-70s, we had the issue that Tucson had grown dramatically for decades, and investments in the infrastructure had not kept up pace with that growth. And we found ourselves in a situation where, as a community, because of the characteristics of the community at that time, and you may remember this, it looked really different. We had a lot of grass. We had a lot of high water use plants and trees and shrubs.
Lots of lawns.
Putting a lot of demands out on the system. We hadn't made the investments in the infrastructure to be able to meet those demands. And I think 1975, 1976, we found ourselves in a position that we could not provide water service to areas of the community because we couldn't pump it out of the ground fast enough and that we didn't have big enough pipes to get it to where they needed it. So Beat the Peak began as a customer service to voluntarily reduce water demands so that we could kind of create a little bit of buffer because we knew we needed to spend money on infrastructure and we could have done it really quickly right away, raised rates a lot. But because of the voluntary reductions that were made over time, those investments were deferred. We could spread out any rate increases because of having to drill more wells and put in more pipelines. So we were very successful in the mid-70s with that. As we went through the decades, and I'll probably talk a little bit more about this when we talk about water conservation. As we go through the decades, people have gotten so good about using water more efficiently that we beat the peak.
Water, use it wisely.
When we refer to the peak, beating the peak, what we're referring to is those last few days, and usually in June, before the rains come, when the greatest volumes of water are being used. We have made investments in infrastructure. It never really was about water supply. It was more about infrastructure. But looking to the future, we have the water available, and we have the infrastructure available. And so we beat the peak, and that was a challenge for us because we had to come up with a different program because people would ask me when I would do presentations, what is this Beat the Peak thing? And
talk about a great marketing and branding strategy. It was ingenious because look at how thick that is in my skull.
And, you know, we offer these conservation programs that we offer are, in a sense, a customer service. It's something that we offer to our customers to help them manage water use in their homes and reduce their bills. And in one of the subsequent shows here, we'll talk about what the long-term impacts have really been.
And it matters. And I in that conversation, I know that you have really done well in terms of water reliability. It's one of the reasons we named that series that in partnership with you, because we can rely on our water. We want to get that message out. And I think about 2 to 3 years, and then I think about come ready to say, do you have a think tank that's thinking about 50 years down the road?
I mean,
it's not going to bother me unless I really luck out. And I'm like 110.
Yeah. Well, you know, your listeners who have listen to this show, I think, are aware. We talked about that the first one. We have a 50-year water plan that we continue to work on and update as conditions dictate.
And it sounds kind of funny, but it'll be here before you know it, and that's true. I want to make sure that we do a shout-out and get this in. TucsonAZ.gov/water is the website. Facebook, if you want information, same thing. Tucson Water, Facebook. You can look at the City of Tucson page. That's also great. Twitter, Tucson Water, same name there, and we want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you, and especially the website, and can't wait for the unveiling. And I would like to say, do a little shout-out, because July 2nd is the 6th anniversary of the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We're happy celebrating that anniversary, and I want to keep mentioning that on the show, 6 years old for building this independent network, but our show on July 30th will be with another, in my opinion, Tucson treasure, Dave Hutchins from TEP. He's working hard to really do renewables, get them further out, and this was great, another fun, informative show. We have about 30 seconds. Want to add anything?
No, I think it's been a pleasure again being here. And
it goes so fast.
It does.
It does
30
go
minutes
so fast.
Is not enough.
Time flies when you're having fun. So you'll have to all be tuned when Fernando and I do the 1 hour. It won't even feel like a marathon. It'll be, we had an hour and we didn't cover all that. Everybody make it a great green week. And do use water wisely because it matters. Don't ever think because of all these good things, we can waste it. Take care. And stay cool. Thanks, you guys. It was great.
Thank you.